Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Hang on the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better.
This Christmas.
And as we trim the tree, I should know the rest of the song, but I don't.
Donnie Hathaway, rest in peace. Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Cumpleaños.
Christmas.
Yes, it's Christmas time. It is the most wonderful time of the year. My favorite time of the year. I cannot believe the year has flown by and we're already in Christmas, but we're in the Christmas season, full-fledged. And it's a joyous time. This is going to be our last episode. Oh, first of all, this is We Watch Too Much TV. We're really bad at that. Sorry, y'all. But that's why we have the intro.
We just get to talking because we're just so passionate.
You know what I mean? That's why we got the intro there at the beginning of the show, because we will just start talking. But welcome to season 5, episode 6 of We Watch Too Much TV. We are two real life best friends that do this podcast. Despite how many people may or may not be listening, because we actually like it. We really enjoy
it. We enjoy it. And I feel like people are listening to us more. So shout out to
yes.
The new followers. Shout out
right.
To the new
listeners. Gregory, Allison, Sarah.
Shout out to everybody who likes us, who listens to us, who follows us, who comments on everything. If you comment
yes.
On our Instagram, YouTube,
even if it's criticism, because we're pretty cool. Like, we might clap back, but not like viciously. I saw you respond to that one guy who was like coming at us on TikTok. But yeah, we're pretty. We allow you to disagree. Everyone has the right
one
to.
One guy on TikTok, he was disagreeing with us because I think we said we both didn't like Robin on the show, and he was like, "I can't believe you're thriving off of somebody losing a job." And then another follower said, "But it's reality TV,
right?
So their job is to keep us entertained." So listen, whether you like us, you hate us, you love us. We want to just give everyone a chance to let us know how you feel.
Right. So follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. It is TEA with the letter V. And we're on all streaming platforms. So just like and subscribe, rate and review. And please just stick with us. We actually are good people and we're funny. Thank you. Yeah,
we are very funny. And a lot of people have been like, one of my old coworkers we posted our last clip about Married to Medicine. She's like, oh, I'm going to listen now.
Yes.
We're going to get y'all.
Thank you. We're going to get you one way or another, because we're going to talk about a show that you enjoy. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, like, I like their takes on it. Yes, because we're popping and it's not fake. Like, we've always been this popping, you know, since like back in the day.
2002.
Right. Thank you. But in honor of it being Christmas season, we will be sharing our favorite Christmas movie and our memory. Best friend, do you want to kick us off with either of your favorite Christmas holiday movie or memory or both?
Yeah, really quickly, please don't hate me. I'm a Christmas movie girl, but not really.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay.
Not like I don't go out my way to watch Christmas movies, mm-hmm. but if it's on, I watch it. But my favorite Christmas movie is This Christmas.
That is a good one.
It's an all black cast. It was a really good movie. It was very funny. I really enjoyed it. I remember Chris Brown wanting to sing, and the mother was like, no, because the daddy was singing. And I also remember Columbus Short wife being white. And the things that I remember about that movie is crazy. And when Regina King
beat up Laz Alonso with the
baby oil
in the bathroom. That is a classic, classic scene. So much so that you know, my favorite show, The Boys, on Amazon Prime, they were this last season doing, like, you know, just talking as their regular selves as actors. And the one of his two castmates asked him, it was like one of those where it's submitted questions from the internet. And someone was like, well, why is the top Google search Laz Alonso baby oil? And it was because of that scene from This Christmas. So, yes, classic, classic film. Really great casting, great storytelling. And I could do for another one, honestly. I mean,
yeah, I feel like there's a way they could remake
it. Yeah, there's totally a way that they could remake it.
And the one Christmas mm-hmm. that sticks out to me is I think I was in 7th or 8th grade and my mom got me a name chain. And I remember being very excited because she got me like a nameplate. If you know me, you know I lose jewelry, so I think I only had it for like 6 months. That's why I really don't buy expensive jewelry.
Yes.
But that was the one Christmas that when you said your favorite memory, that's the one thing I remember going in the living room. I asked her for it and I opened it up and she had my nameplate. And I also recognized as I got older how much my mom and my dad and my... I just think being an adult, I didn't realize or recognize how blessed I was with my family and friends and like my like how good they had me and my siblings. So shout out to my mom and my dad, because I was like, I really had great Christmases. I don't ever remember not getting the one or two things I asked about. So I miss child and being excited about Christmas.
That's amazing.
Are you excited for your daughter's first Christmas? I'm excited.
I am. Like, I mean, she's not really going to know much about what's going on, but I'm really excited to see her, like, play and tear open the wrapping paper. She's going to be obsessed with that. I've been waiting for that because I always see, like, little videos of the babies tearing open presents and they're just, like, playing with the wrapping paper because that's what they love. And I got her some really great teething toys, because that's where she's at in her little babydom life right now, is teething and just wanting to put everything in her mouth. So I'm really excited for her to get these new toys, and they all are good with them, working with her, you know, her motor skills and her development and learning. So I'm really excited. And in general, I'm a Christmas person. My birthday's 5 days after Christmas. So I really, really love this time of the year. It's just a time to, like Tanae was just doing, reflect, feel grateful, count your blessings, be with family, appreciate your loved ones. And so when you have that and you have those resources to show your family and your loved ones how much you appreciate them by giving gifts, because that's what it's all about. I know some people don't celebrate Christmas, but it really is just about giving and love and sharing. So, yes, my favorite holiday film, I watch it every year. It is a tradition in our household. It's Home Alone 1 and 2.
The best
ones. The best ones. The rest of them don't even matter. We did watch Home Alone 4 a couple of weeks back because we just saw it on Disney Plus, and my husband was like,
"What? 4?
Girl, it was so irrelevant. It came out when we was in high school. It came out in like 2003. And it's just with this like little boy, they were trying to modernize it. It's just so like not happening. But me and my husband watched it, didn't even really pay attention to it because it just wasn't a thing. But we always watch Home Alone 1 and 2 right around Christmas. We'll bake cookies. So yes, Home Alone 1 and 2 is what we watch every Christmas. It's a tradition. I'm looking forward to introducing it to Marley. And my favorite Christmas memory, my Christmases have been pretty cool. I would say the one, like, you know, you always remember just where you get all those gifts. That's something you remember as a kid. And so I had a Christmas like that when I used to live in Houston, and it was great for me. But when I like got older and talked to my siblings about it, my two older siblings, they hated that Christmas because they were forced to wrap all these gifts the night before Christmas because they were like being bad in school. So they also didn't even really get nothing. And they just had to wrap all these gifts for like me and my sister and my little brother, my younger brother. And it was miserable for them. So it's like it's a bittersweet.
As a punishment.
Yes. The night before Christmas too. So it was a lot of gifts like that. Yeah. So it was like a punishment for them. But it hit for me, you know, imagine waking up in the morning and literally, and this is when I was living in Texas. So, you know, the living room is huge and you go downstairs and it's all these presents. It's like every kid wants that. That like that's like a such a special memory. So especially like I said, they had did all the shopping the night before, so you weren't even seeing all these gifts, you know, like just already being under the tree as it's leading up to Christmas to like already anticipate it. It was like you just woke up like surprise. So yeah, that was I was like five That was like,
they remember that
for sure. But everyone, Merry, 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 Merry Christmas. And yes, make sure you just make those new memories because that's what it's all about. All right. And on that note, let's get into our weekly grab. Best friend, share with us what is the first on your list of shows you've been watching this week.
Well, you know, this was such a positive intro. I don't mean to bring it down a little bit, but the first show is one of my lovely documentaries. It is the Girls Gone Wild documentary.
Oh, God. Merry Christmas, y'all.
Merry Christmas, guys. Watch your kids. Watch your kids.
They don't need to be hoes on.
Listen. So I remember Girls Gone Wild came out. We were in, like, I think middle school, high school.
Yeah.
So I just remember it being peak, like, we were kind of in our, like, adult sexual awakening, and I heard of it, but I know it was something I shouldn't see, because if I was up past, like, 12:30, I remember those commercials. I remember thinking, damn, I wish I had a credit card to really see what they were doing. But it goes into the story of Joe Francis, who was the creator, and how it started. I only have about one episode left, but it goes back to how he was actually working behind the scenes for some, like, new reality television show. He recognized that there was a lot of adult kind of content on the cutting room floor. So he kind of had an idea to kind of publicize it. And Howard Stern, this is when Howard Stern was in his really raunchy era, but everything wasn't getting publicized.
Right.
It kind of made Joe Francis like, oh, maybe there's a lane for me there. So he starts kind of like, it started very simple where, like, he would know, do girls he know, but very quickly it turned manipulative and it turned into, like, a lying ball of deceit. He would get people on camera and say, hey, you know, just flash me. I'll give you some beads. Girl, he will always make sure the girls were drunk before anybody worked. They would know girl that they ever filmed was of sound mind. Not one.
Yeah.
They would do it thinking like, oh, it's not going to be anywhere. And the first girl they interviewed, she was like, I just remember a guy asking me, he had a small little camera, but I thought it was for him. I didn't know I was going to be on national television.
Wow.
Imagine you being 18 in spring break.
Right.
Like, it was one thing, but, and it's, you can't get rid of it.
Right.
For the rest of your life.
That's right.
So it goes into the abuse that they had. A lot of, they always went to the low income, slow, boring towns, West Virginia, Florida, Oklahoma. They wouldn't go to New York, LA. They would go to the middle of nowhere where the people were bored.
Yes.
What they had to do was splash people.
Wow.
There was a reporter who in 2022, Joe Francis approved. He's like, okay, you can go ahead and, like, record me. I won't be on video, but you could record me. She has about 10 hours worth of interviews for him. He has zero remorse. He blames everybody but him. Like, everybody is to blame but him for what he did.
Oh, yeah, narcissist.
And it was annoying, but I think it was so hurtful because there are women that are grown to this day that are still...
Yeah, scarred from this. Yeah, of course.
Like, the way he used to get, like, let's say it was one friend that they were into and one less attractive friend, but let's say the one that they wanted wouldn't do it without the less attractive friend. They would act like they were filming both of them. They would edit the other friend out and only leave the other girl in. They were paying these girls $50. These girls didn't know about lawyers. They didn't know about underage stuff. So this is the only thing, the only reason why I'm kind of thankful for Florida, because it was Florida who brought them down and kind of
got
into, like, some racketeering, it being illegal, a legal charge, rape. But I just never knew the history behind this.
Right, right.
That's all these underage women who are moms now, who are, like, trying to have careers, but they're just, like, haunted by this man taking advantage of 16 and 17 year olds who didn't drink, didn't know what was going on. I just weren't of sound mind. Like, not one girl was ever sober. Like, hey, I'll do this. So,
did they touch on, like, the spawning of, like, what it spawned, or, like, even how it's developed to today? It's still something prevalent today and becoming popular again, where, you know, you got the Hawk Tour girl and people going up and interviewing. You know, I think people are probably more mindful now because of things going viral. But there's still just this thing of like, particularly more with women always, of just trying to get vulnerable, drunk women to open up about things on camera.
Yeah, they talked about without Girls Gone Wild, there'll be no OnlyFans. Without Girls Gone Wild, right, there probably wouldn't be a lot of internet sexual activity. Mm-hmm. So they just talked about the what it created. But where I'm at in the actual docuseries is when they finally get caught. And even after they caught, Joe Francis was going on TV like, I didn't do anything wrong. This is their fault. This is the girl's fault. Like, he has no remorse. He still sounds like a horrible person. But it just was so eye-opening because I just remember vehemently that point in time. So to know that these were like innocent, underage girls, most of them were 16 to 17, they had no idea what they were signing up for. And they were getting $50 and happy with it. Because $50 or $100 right. would keep them, in 2003, would keep them in Florida or wherever they were for
action. Yeah, some little, you know, some cash.
So it was a really good educational documentary.
It sounds, yeah.
And the guy who worked with him was like, I hate that guy. It was really, really good, but also I just like learning, like, damn, Girls Gone Wild, that I messed up a lot of people's lives.
Right.
F you, Joe Francis.
F you, Joe Francis, son of a bitch.
What is first on your weekly grab bag?
Well, bringing back up the holiday spirit.
Yes. Bring it back up.
First on my holiday grab is It Cake Holiday? So you guys know I love baking competition shows, especially the ones centered around the holiday. And Is It Cake came back for just a special holiday edition. And it's also an all-stars edition where you're seeing cake makers from past seasons come back for the ultimate prize of winning, first of all, the random ass total of $46,000 and the title of Cake Master. So it was cool just seeing, you know, familiar faces, which are also competing against each other on Wizards of Baking, like Elizabeth and Nico. They're over on Wizards of Baking, but they were originals from Is It Cake? And so because they're what is it called? Like a realist cake artist. They make these realistic looking cakes. But this time it's all about the holiday cakes and seeing them like reconnect with each other. So you have past winners like Elizabeth. She came back. She won season two. Also finalists, like top finalists. And then just some people who just were on the show for a little bit. And now they're popular because I think his name is like Jack or Jake. He became really popular on TikTok after he got eliminated on Is It Cake. So they brought him back and it was just cool. And, you know, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, Jujar won. And it was really nice to see Jujar win because...
Is that the tall Indian guy? Cause
that's yes, that wears like the hat, the turban. Yeah.
And he took his family to Paris.
Yes, because he was a runner up on his season. So he, you know, he took home the win. And yes, I was very, very happy for him to win that little random $46,000. Cause it's like, what the hell? Why is it $46,000? Like that is a very random total, but I love it. If you love the show, Is It Cake? You got to watch the holiday edition. It's only 4 episodes, really quick watch. And Mikey Day is hilarious. He came out on the, you know, the Is It Cake, like Game of Thrones, like chair. And some of the people who came to judge, I believe, was like Tiffany Haddish and Terry Crews. So it was really cool just seeing, you know, comical people come on the show. And they are really fans of the show and judge these cake competitions. So yes, Is It Cake Holiday? First on my weekly grab, after we just heard about Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah, we watch too much TV. We literally watch everything.
We're well-rounded. What's next on your weekly grab, best friend?
Okay, we're gonna bring it back up a little bit. This is a new limited series, which I absolutely love. It's Snoop's Fatherhood. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, Snoop Dogg did have a family reality show years ago with his wife and his 3 kids. They're all grown now, and this show is only focusing on his daughter, his only daughter, and his youngest child, Corey, her engagement to her fiance, Wayne, and just the ups and downs about planning it. I do recall when they first got engaged, because I do follow her. She has a beautiful makeup line. Shout out to you, Corey. I'll make sure I post this and tag her. She's such an individual, and she's doing this all while having the disease lupus. Mm-hmm. And she also recently had a stroke. So sending her love and prayers. I hope everything, not recently, but maybe within the past year or so.
Yeah.
a lot better now, but it goes into before that happens. Once he so first of all, you get a little bit into their love story, because a lot of she was getting so much hate because nobody knew who the fiance was. They met like at a basketball game. He knew the family before he even dated her. He is a guy who has his own business. He has his own money. He came coming to something and did not care who her family was. And he loves her. You can tell by the way he looks at her, how he supports her, how he fills her up. I love seeing any black man put their woman on a pedestal and just show them that how beautiful they are. But I also think Snoop don't play that. So Snoop wouldn't have his baby girl with no Buster. But the episode I watched, you just go into the history of their relationship. They want a huge wedding, like 400 or 500 people. Ooh. And they're like, wait, it's too many people. They go through the things that, you know, you've gone through, where it's like you going getting married and it's like, do we invite this person? Everybody feels entitled to an invite, but it's like, do you care about me and my man? Are you supporting me and my man? So you see her go through that. She's very honest about her physical issues with her body image and how she is absolutely beautiful, but because she's not happy with how she looks, society has portrayed her that she needs to be a size 2. She just is not happy about it. You also see the supportive dad. Like, Snoop Dogg is that guy 100% through and through.
Yeah.
But you really get to see how supportive he is of her, how he encourages her, how he pushes her to do what's best for her. And just all around, you know, the mom is the HBIC. She runs things. The brothers even tell her, like, you got to be in a positive mind state, sis. You can't be letting all this negativity get to you. Aww. And so we're getting, it's a limited series. I think it's only about 2 to 3 episodes left. But I think it was just something lighthearted, something different than Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Giving you more of an insight into her businesses. She also does music. And just how what's going to happen with the wedding and how stressful planning a wedding will be. But I just love getting a glimpse. And I like that it's about her. And her best friend is Master P's daughter. And they just talk about how much they get along and how that they have a very specific friendship that only the daughter of male rappers would understand.
I like that.
I don't know if they've gotten a big wedding yet. I doubt it. They were just filming it. And I think she gets sick. They haven't gotten to that episode yet, but I think as they're filming this and planning, that's when she unfortunately gets sick. But it's just a really good, honest, like, reality show. Like, I can tell there's nothing fake about it. So shout out to Snoop and Corey and your whole family. Invite me to the wedding if y'all didn't have it yet.
Shout out to the Brodus family and to Snoop Dogg for just being a good daddy.
Oh my God, you could tell he is such a good father, a present father. He feeds life into all his kids.
I love
and he
that.
Still goes to Denny's.
To Diddy's?
Denny's.
Oh, Denny's.
Denny's? No, not Denny's.
I said Diddy. Diddy?
Where your voice at?
Right? Like, why are we bringing him up? Like, okay. But to Denny's. He still goes eats at Denny's.
They make fun of him because he's still with his fame and accolades and income. We'll still take
he's still a DOG.
Yeah.
I love it. That's beautiful. Well, yes. Shout out to the Brodus and to Corey Brodus. Next on my weekly grab is another Netflix show. I've been on the Netflix binge wave lately because I finally been getting some time. Like, once the baby goes to sleep, I'll go watch my show. So I finally caught up with Cobra Kai. Y'all know I love Cobra Kai. I'm a very big Cobra Kai fan. And I've just been waiting to talk about my show because I wanted to make sure I fully took it in. So season 6, listen, if it is cheesy, it is a cheesy show, but it is just...
Is it the last one? The last season?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to get to the last episode, but I saw that they released the trailer today for Karate Kid Legends and Ralph Macchio. You know, the original Karate Kid is in it. Everyone's like, where the hell is Jaden Smith? I think they have him in there as a surprise. And Jackie Chan is in there. So I don't know if maybe they'll be focused more on the spinoff of the film. But Cobra Kai is just amazing because they just continue to find ways to bring back characters from the original films into the show. So at first it was just coming off super cheesy season 6 and like a little too kumbaya. But then they sent us with a loop through Tori after you see the death of her mother. So Tori betrays Miyagi-Do and rejoins Cobra Kai to compete against her friends and boyfriend at the Sai Kai Tai Kai in Barcelona. And so you're seeing Daniel and Johnny, that's Ralph Macchio, and I be forgetting Johnny's real name, but he's Johnny. Y'all know who Johnny is, the blonde guy. They're at odds over how their different sensei styles are just clashing with each other. And then the villain, Kreese, he's returning with a vengeance after he got sent to jail. And he was like over in like Japan. And so he recreates Cobra Kai with Japanese fighters. Plus Tori, who feels, you know, annoyed by Miyagi-Do because she's just feeling, you know, a lot of anger over her mother's death. And they were trying to you know, bench her because they could tell she was fighting with angry emotion and not just for general of just, you know, karate. So because of that, that's why she went and go fought with Cobra Kai. So that's the twist that they added to make it like, ooh, betrayal. And so this first tournament at the Saikai Taikai, it goes down. Like, everybody's just fighting, kicking, punching. The fighting scenes are still super choreographed, but they're still good.
Are they like corny, like kick punch? It's all in the bunch? If you know.
I mean, it's choreographed. Like, you could tell this is choreographed, but... I mean, if you love Karate Kid, you're just going to love Cobra Kai because they keep finding ways, like I said, to just introduce the old characters. And in this season, they brought back one guy who had just competed against Daniel in a fight in like the second movie. But he makes a guest appearance and helps to train the Miyagi-Do fighters for the tournament. So it's just fun. It's just fun, wholesome. It's a family show. Like, it's definitely a show that I can watch with Marley as she gets older and maybe has a, you know, like maybe when, even when she's like seven, you know, it's either for nostalgia for old fans. They also make always just references to the 80s, which is really funny. And then with the music and the soundtrack. So it's, to me, it's wholesome television. It is cheesy, yes, but it's wholesome. You know what I mean? It's wholesome. So
we need wholesome TV right now. I feel like life be life for everybody. I love a cheesy show.
Yes.
I love that it gives you like a throwback for the older people who remember the original Karate Kid and for the new fan base. So right. Shout out to Ralph Macchio.
I will also just say too that everything that is on my weekly grab is like a wholesome, cheesy show because that's just where I'm at right now. That's where I'm at in my life. I just want to feel happiness when I watch television. I don't want to be feeling all these strong emotions because you got enough of that from just watching the news.
Which I had to unsubscribe from. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's like you got to just check out because it's just too much. But what's last on your weekly grab, best friend?
Last on my weekly grab is just a show I've talked about before, but it's going to highlight the last episode. To me, thus far, it is like the best Housewives show on this go-around, and that's The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. They actually have a new episode that came out tonight, so I cannot wait to see that one. Ooh. But in the one that just aired, they're doing the cash trip. The thing about Angie K is I'm learning that two things can be true at the same time. I feel like she very much is a housewife fan, not like other housewives.
Right.
I can tell she's been trying to be on the show, but also the way she is there for Mary warms my heart. The way that Mary has confided in her and Angie has shown how she's a good friend and how, like, you know how most housewives, they run back and tell their business.
Right.
The way she kept Mary's business to herself when everybody was like, oh, where's Mary? She didn't tell them what was going on with Mary's son. She did. She was just like, you know, she'll come. Like, and they're like, oh, it's just Mary. She'll come. So the women don't know that Mary's literally putting her son in.
Right. Okay.
And
good.
They're starting the
I
trip.
Like that.
And so I just want to shout out Angie K for just being a true friend in this stage where a lot of people would have used that as a storyline. I love that she sat Mary down. She said, Mary, addiction is not your fault. Mary just was feeling so bad and like, what did I do? Was I not a good mother? And Angie said, because her mom was an alcoholic and ultimately succumbed to the disease, she said, I had to learn my way as well. This is not something you can change. This is not something that you can control. So I think that's good for the viewers to see.
Yeah.
Such a real storyline, not about a husband, but about a child. And I don't think we've seen that in a long time.
Right.
Also, it's just showing me that, like, we really don't need the Bobbsey twins of one another.
Oh, please, yes.
I think they always need a little what the hell person, but, like, between Lisa's narcissism, Meredith is offended by everything.
You can leave.
You can get my stability. You're talking about my stability.
I did see that episode where she kicked Angie K out of her event. And honestly, I felt Angie K because that is embarrassing.
Girl, it's a bar mitzvah.
You going to kick me out of this event with my whole husband here? Uh-uh, girl.
And all because Brittany felt she much shame.
Right.
Brittany is so annoying. Every second she has an announcement and nobody cares.
Yeah. Like,
nobody cares, but it's escalating because there's about, I think, 3 or 4 more episodes left into the reunion. I think that everyone's kind of calling Lisa out because Lisa's one of those friends. Like, it's always her and it's never anybody else.
Never.
I think Bronwyn is definitely my new housewives MVP. There hasn't been a new housewife like her in a while that gives me a storyline, but also holds the people to their toes. Like, you're lying, you're not real.
Right.
In this upcoming episode clip, she starts telling about her business and her hard marriage and her relationship with her husband, how, you know, there was infidelity and how the daughter found out. Like, her daughter saw him texting someone on the iPad and then told her mom, hey, mom, you gotta check my stepdad.
Ooh, that's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing. That has to, like, hit a hard place for the daughter. So I'm just really loving this season of Housewives. Like, the only one besides Potomac, like, I'm really into. And I can't wait for the reunion. I can't wait to watch tonight's episode later, because this is also when there's another Angie K and Meredith fight where everyone feels, like, challenged and
yeah, because it definitely right, yeah, attacked. It definitely does seem like Meredith is, like, holding a grudge against Angie K from, like, the things that she said previously in, like, previous seasons, because it's like, I don't really feel like Angie K did anything to her, but she's like, yeah, she's just not feeling her, but it's cool.
Just say that. You like her. Just say that you're over it. But it's just a really, really, and I'm really not into the white housewives. So I don't really watch OC. I'm starting to get into Beverly Hills, but that's not all white. But this is actually, like, I really like this season. So shout out to Housewives of Salt Lake City, and shout out to Bronwyn. Let's hang out.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to catch up with it just because, you know, people have been giving good reviews, so it seems decent. Okay, last on our weekly grab is another wholesome show on Netflix, Queer Eye season 9. They are in season 9. I can't believe it. This season they are in Las Vegas and they have a new 5th member specializing in design named Jeremiah. The intro is really adorable because, like, they're looking for a package as they drive and arrive into Vegas. And so they're going into all these, like, different iconic spots in Vegas, or bumping into iconic people like Dita Von Teese, or they're at the Caesar's Palace. And also just, like, little bits that tie into each of their role on the show. And then ultimately they find their package and it ends up being their newbie, Jeremiah. So the first episode sees them reintroduce Paula, a former Vegas showgirl, back to her sparkle. She lost her spark after becoming a mom and grandma and getting older, but she still works in show business as a seamstress. And you just see how much she just loves, you know, she loves the industry. Like, this is her passion. Like, she danced and performed for so many years, but she, you know, she gave it up to raise her daughters. So just seeing them reintroduce her to herself, her natural essence, because it doesn't mean just because you're older, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And honestly, after watching them give her not even the makeover, like that one scene where her and Karamo were on stage, like doing a performance that was taught to Dita Von Teese, I was like, I would love to see that type of burlesque show. I would love to see, I would pay to see senior women and men just get on stage and be hot and sexy and confident. I literally would pay to see that. I would go to Vegas to pay to see that. So I think they have something there. And I hope that Paula joins, because she still got it. Like, she snapped right back into it. Oh, like, she never left.
When I say she snapped, she was like, right. Oh, this is what I'm doing.
So I just love that Queer Eye is back. And again, just just lovely stories. This is what makes it so wholesome. It does at times get emotional because it's like you can see the journeys that people have had and how they could, they've lost themselves. And then you just have the Fab Five reintroducing them. And it's just, it's full of love. It's really, really just full of love. That's why I watch every season of this show. I love it so much. So new season, Queer Eye, season 9. All right, so that's our weekly grab, y'all. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Follow us on all social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That is T-E-A with the letter V as in Victor, as in Victoria, as in Victorian. Okay, now that I ended on a wholesome note, let's get into a little mess because we got to be messy. Even though it's Christmas, it's going to be messy with our piss poor performance. Okay, best friend. Piss, 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 pissing on them. What? Who's on your, who you pissing on? Who you pissing on?
I think we gotta end the year on a high, low note. Jacqueline from the Real Housewives of
Virginia. Oh my goodness.
Girl, you are so desperate.
So.
It's just not even cute anymore. To first of all, to come at the Grand Dame, listen, I don't care what anybody says about Karen. I don't care about her trial. I will never hate Karen.
Never.
I don't care what y'all are saying about her.
Never.
I will never hate Karen. Never, ever, ever. That's first. To come at her for no reason, for you and your butt buddy me to come up with something that happened 3-4 years ago, for you to share something that's not recent, knowing what she's going through, is tacky.
Tacky.
To then be surprised why you're not invited to the group events because you are a friend of, because you and me are not even that close because y'all weren't talking for a minute.
Right.
You know, you are barely hanging on to your little flute of a champagne. You are barely hanging on to a damn flower.
Okay.
They go shopping and you say, oh, you know, I haven't been invited to anything, but it's okay. Karen tells you there. Mia asked, can I bring Jacqueline? And Karen says it to your face. No. You disrespected me. You cannot come into my place of, that's my home. It's not even at a bar. It's my home where I live with my husband, and you're not gonna talk shit about me and come to my home. You say, I didn't want to be invited anyway. To bring your jolly happy ass with 8 balloons to talk about is for her citations and you wanna make peace. You're desperate. You will never be a glue holder.
Never.
Former are the same person now. I think that was super whack of you. They didn't show the whole of it. They showed a clip of it, so we don't get into it really too much. I think you're whack, Mia, for knowing it was an idea. And instead of saying, absolutely don't embarrass it. That's why I don't think Mia's a real friend.
No.
Because if the tables were turned and somebody said that they weren't inviting you and then that you wanted to do it, I was like, oh, don't do it to yourself. Don't do it. You don't deserve it. If they said no, say no. But for Mia to know, let your best friend look stupid and get kicked out and be embarrassed, and you gotta walk her to the curb, y'all are both dumb.
Like, I listen, think- it's just thirsty and thirstiest. Like, literally. Literally.
Like Dr. Pepper.
Yes. Yes. Like, and literally.
You're pregnant. Congratulations to whoever your baby daddy is. Still not.
They said it's Mia's.
It's the guy?
Oh, no, Mia. Mia's the baby daddy.
I don't care who you are, who you're dating, what's going on. You just are doing. She is what I'm saying. Bronwyn is not. Bronwyn has said that she's never watched a housewife show. She wish she would have because she feels like the reason like Heather and them are being distant in Salt Lake is because of Monica. But Jacqueline, I could tell, watched every episode. She probably watched Atlanta. You can tell the difference between a housewife who's authentic. Bronwyn was honest. She said, I wish I would have watched episode of Housewives because I would have known how hesitant they were to new people because of Monica, Vita Von, Dan, Tease, whatever, from last season. So she feels like she got a lot of cold shoulder from the new people because Monica kind of was like a blogger fan.
Right.
But Jacqueline, you can tell, was watching Atlanta, was watching Potomac, was watching Salt Lake, and was watching these shows to see how she could be more. You can tell she's a fan.
Yes.
Everything she did, and we haven't even finished it, it's just. Girl, congratulations on your pregnancy, but you're desperate. Girl, bye.
And Monica's still very desperate. Like, I saw her, like, doing, like, you know, she does these little vlogs from her car. yes, like still about the show. And it's just like, she, that was why I was fine when they put her on pause. But I also just, I'm starting to feel like, you know, especially with where Salt Lake City has gone, they are fine without her. Of course, I do not like Heather and Whitney. I still would be fine with them getting replaced. But in the meantime, you know, they still are so annoying enough that it's still just, you know, it works. But Monica is just so thirsty, and I really want Housewives. I think it's, you know, it's been on the on air for so many years now. It's hard to find people that aren't fans of the show. But I really would hope that the producers do their due diligence when they're doing these, the casting, to just move away from casting people that are just literal fangirls of the show. Because it's just, it comes off as just inauthentic. They just don't resonate well on screen.
About that, when I watch her just crash out and just get mad at every episode about if she would have did it, and apparently she wants to sue, but if she sues,
it's like, girl, you still owe people money.
Just relax.
Pay your bills. You didn't pay for your car. Like, there's something like just focus on paying your bills and raising your children. Don't you have like three kids? Give it up. Give it up.
Yeah, just relax. I think she needs to relax. So, to your point, we don't need any more fans. And
no.
It, and that's all.
Yeah, like Monica was the ultimate infiltrator, and I think that's why she was so good on the show, because she had been such a fan on the show. And I do still give her credit for just the vengeance she had against Jen Shaw, but that's such an old thing. I do feel like in the years that come when Jen gets out of prison, that could be something that is revisited with like Monica and Jen facing off, because Monica did, you know, totally, you know, betray her, rightfully so. But yeah, that could be something there. But other than that, it's like she's just too much of a fan, and she just, yes, completely crashing out, always talking about the show from her car, that we're not sure if that's the one you're not paying for or what, because you owe bills. But yeah, girl, I need you to get these priorities together and focus on healing.
Crash out.
My piss poor is going to the official cast of the Challenge All-Star Season 5, Rivals. It's premiering January 29th exclusively on MTV. And this cast, it basically looks like a regular Challenge with sprinkles of some of the all-stars. But I just think that it's getting away from how Mark Long started it in season one, where it was supposed to be old, you know, the veterans from Road Rules and versus Real World seasons coming back. You know, finding, you know, feeling, you know, reminding themselves that they still got it despite the age and life and becoming parents and physical ailments and stuff, you know. But now, you know, you're seeing it get infiltrated with people from, you know, the newer seasons that are still young.
Are you the one and Big Brother?
So we got Devon, who I don't like, but she is good for TV. I'm happy that she lost the GOAT. I really don't like her, because she also like tweeted me back with a little attitude. So I'm like, girl, you naturally just have a sucky ass attitude. It's not just for television, but it works for television. So at least that, there's that. So yeah, I hope she doesn't win. But there's Devon, Shane, who is an actual all-star. Adam, another actual all-star, and we love Adam. Didn't he like stick his middle finger up at somebody or something last season?
It was, yes. That's who his partner is. Adam and Steve.
Steve.
They voted him in.
That's right. That's so right.
Their beef is recent.
Yes. Amber, who won with CT a few years ago. I just, you know, she's an all-star, but just not like super veteran. Fessy, who's from Big Brother. But he's been almost made it to the finals, but hasn't won yet. Anissa, an actual all-star who always makes herself available whenever they call.
Stop it.
Ashley M, she's been on for a minute. Ashley K, who I just don't even remember where she's from. Dario, he's from back in the day. Beth, we know Beth from back in the day. Jeanne. Big T, more recent than some Corey. Not the Corey that had a baby with somebody from the 16 and pregnant. Right. No, this is another Corey. I don't recognize him, but he doesn't look like he's a vet. Devin, Leroy, you know, Leroy was on the last season of All Stars, but still, I even was feeling like Leroy, like they're too young. Frank, Sam, Katie, she's a vet. Veronica, Kellyanne, they're vets. Sylvia, I kind of remember her. Melissa, super fresh. She's from like London or something, I remember. Nicole, that's I like that Nicole's back in that. Who's the other, the crazy one? Laurel. And then we got Nani and Turbo, which we all know Turbo is crazy. So hopefully Turbo learns his lesson from being put on pause for a couple of seasons. But yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering if the reason they're bringing on newer people and calling them all-stars is because it's getting challenging to cast and bring back some of these original vets of the show. But I would also, so I understand if that's the case, but I would also think that by them casting these younger people, it's going to continue to turn off the older people from returning because they're like, how am I going to compete against them? So I do hope that it gets back to just bringing on more actual veterans of the show, because it was cool to just see them, you know, reminding and showing people that just because you're of a certain age or you're a mom or a dad or whatever, you can still do it, you know, and even just the nostalgia of it, like, because even those clips from the shows from back in the day, 20, 15 years ago, you're not going to be able to do that if somebody was just on a show 3 years ago. Like, it's like, come on now. That's a regular ass challenge. You know?
I am excited that it is on, like, MTV as opposed to Paramount, but I agree with you 100%. I think the thing we love the most about All Stars was every single All Star was on Real World or Road Rules. So I think that because they added the rivals part of it, a lot of the old school folks are actually getting along now. So they're not rivals. So I could understand from a marketing standpoint, but I 100% agree with you. My favorite thing about All Stars was that every single one of them have been on a previous real world road rules or like a challenge show.
Right.
All these like Survivor and Are You the One and I Don't Care. I'm still gonna watch. I'm rooting for Leroy. I just pray his partner's Devin. I just want him to win once. Like Leroy's
my guy.
One time, just it only takes one to get you and them beautiful babies and your wife good. But I'm really rooting for him every season. I really think he gets one, and he looks toned and better than ever. So I'm really truly hoping like he at least get like top two, top three, if not win. But I agree, I 100% agree.
Right.
Hey, relax.
She's crashing out.
Don't be Monica.
The baby is crashing out. Okay. So on that note, let's get into our yes segment of the people, shows, entities that we are actually rooting for and supporting. So who you got, best friend?
I didn't want to speak too much about Queer Eye because that was going to be my yes. My yes specifically goes to Mr. Jeremiah Brent. Right. I want this to be posted because I'm going to tag him so we can be best friends. Now listen,
yes.
I've loved Queer Eye all 8 seasons. I have no issue with any of the previous people who are no longer on the show. This is not about them. This is how much I love Jeremiah. I identified with Jeremiah. I felt his segments more. I felt his inclusion more. Mm. Now, I did know of his husband, Nate Berkus, more than him. You're a house TV girly. You know that's not me. So I really wasn't familiar with him, but I just knew he had a bigger following and he was just a different person in this realm in terms of like architecture stuff. But the way he made me cry every episode,
aww,
the way he is in touch with who he is, the way he was like, I felt like this every damn time. The way, especially the one with the single mom.
Yeah.
And the black woman, how he did so, like, he called his mom and he was like, I just want to say I love you. He understood. Aww. I felt like that was probably one of his best makeovers because he was the product of a single mom.
Yeah.
He is funny. He is handsome. He is authentic. I really do pray that he has a layaway option for his design input, because when I move
Please.
To my next apartment, I will email them. Just give me the Walmart and Target versions of what you would tell people to go to your
Please, store. And thank you.
It's gonna come, but I think I'm gonna go see them live now because that's how much I love Jeremiah. Like, I love the other guys too, please don't get me wrong, but there's something about his energy, about his spirit that like, he is perfect.
Yeah.
For the show, and then he gave me another 10 seasons. His life, his awesome. I love the tattoos. I love just his creativity. He's into crystals. Jeremiah, this is your calling. This is for you, and I love you. Let's be friends.
So I take it you don't miss Bobby.
You know, I just, You know what it is. I just think Jeremiah has a different touch. I want to make this more about him and less about like Bobby. I don't think Bobby was bad, but I remember Jared. Like, I remember how somebody said they wanted nature, and he did their walls of like grass and like trees. I just felt like he had a more emotional touch, and as a little empath sensitive girl myself, I just felt him more. Yeah. I don't think Bobby was right or wrong. I just think Jeremiah is right for right now, and I think he is the perfect addition to this team. And they just seem, because what I did was after I finished season 9, I started watching like the first 2 episodes of season 1. It's just a different energy.
Yeah,
I can't call it. It's a way different energy. Jeremiah and Brent, please let's be friends. I'll babysit your kids. Trust me. Never committed a crime.
Well, shout out to Jeremiah and the new Queer Eye, and yeah, because we didn't want it to end, and yeah, they just had to get some new energy, and sometimes things are just for the best. So shout out to them, to the Fab Five, the new Fab Five. Okay, so my yes is going to Eminem. The real Slim Shady, and don't throw down Teddy, and the real Slim Shady, and please stand up. Please stand up. I just want to shout out to Eminem for being so hands-on with the battle rap portion of Rhythm and Flow season 2. I'm sorry, y'all. My baby is crashing out, but I got to finish this. He arranged for the entire cast to be flown out to Detroit from Atlanta to battle rap. He came out and he greeted all of the rappers and offered them great advice throughout the battles. It was shot at the same location he used to battle at and where the battle scene in 8 Mile was shot. So you could just really see how much he motivated and inspired the rappers. And I really just love how Eminem has stayed true to himself and the culture from day one. So for him to even just arrange that, because, you know, Eminem really does not leave Detroit. I know from like with my husband, like when Eminem even shoots a music video, they have to go out to Detroit to do it. He did do that campaign work for Kamala Harris, but that was because it was in Detroit. And then even for this, I know for a fact he probably paid to have everyone go out to Detroit and shoot that battle rap scene, because he does not leave Detroit, and he's just that real that he'll do things on the low. And he doesn't want the credit because he feels like it'll, you know, it takes away from what the moment is about. Because I also heard that he co-produced the beat, one of the beats, I think it was Meet the Grams, that Kendrick's diss track to Drake. But he wanted his name taken off of it because he just didn't want it to overshadow, you know, that he, you know, what the beat was, that it was a good beat and everything or whatever. So shout out to Eminem, because he ain't never been accused of cultural appropriation or nothing.
Always knew he was white.
Yes. Yes. So I love you, Eminem, the real Slim Shady. You've always just been one of my faves since I was young, and I just love seeing you still around, alive, thriving, and being great for the culture as always. So shout out to Eminem.
Before we end, I just got some breaking news and I want to hear your thoughts.
Ooh.
Karen was actually found guilty of Brittany.
Ooh, yeah. I'm not surprised.
The prosecutors were asking for 60 days in jail, but the defense is like, if her rehab or just probation. A lot of people were saying Shannon didn't get the same treatment. What are your thoughts really quick?
So Shannon,
they're saying like Shannon basically had the same DUI. Shannon Bedore kind of went through the same thing and got nothing. And meanwhile, Cameron was found guilty. They didn't say what she was charged with or anything, but Cameron was found guilty of the DUI Maryland trial.
And it wasn't it wasn't her first DUI either.
That I don't know, but a lot of people are saying that just like Shannon, I guess didn't. I don't know if she either pled guilty. Or like she didn't want to go to trial, but
I would just, you know, we're not on the jury. I would just need to know all the details, because with Karen, it was like she was a repeat offender. This isn't the first time she's got, you know, arrested, pulled over for a DUI. It seemed that she wasn't combative, but she, you know, some of the things they were saying, how she was acting with the police, like I think she told one person to F off and stuff. It was just, you know, but 60 days in jail, I do think that's a bit much. Like you could see, like she's not. You know, it's just a whole grown older woman of, you know, like senior age, basically. I don't think she needs to spend 60 days in jail for a DUI. I do think, you know, community service or something, paying a fine and stuff like that is fine. But dang, that's crazy. I'm not surprised that she was found guilty, though.
Yeah. Yep, she was
so good. Dang, that is going to definitely be talked about on the show, for sure, for sure. Hold on 1 second. Let me pause.
Well, prayers to Karen, because she's still my favorite. I don't care. I love her.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about it next season. I don't care. Like I said, you can never have me hate the Grand Dame.
Yeah.
I'm wishing her well. I think that it's going to change her life forever. Sometimes the universe brings you things like that. And just prayers up, Karen. Still right. Love you. You're still that bitch.
So with this being our last show of the season. Hold on.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm so sorry. This is how we close out the last show of the season.
Life.
You know, this is life right here, okay? Mommyhood has taken full force. Okay, so with this being our last show of the year, sorry, not the season, the year, we are, you know, we always close out with a positive quote, but we're also going to include a manifestation of what we are manifesting for 2025. So best friend, you go.
My positive quote is my manifestation. I'm manifesting good health, good wealth for me and those around me, growth personally and professionally, and to keep being the bad bitch that I am and
period.
Keep going to therapy. It helps me.
Period.
So that is all I want the universe to bring for me and this new year. What about you?
Oh, we're doing our manifestations first and then our quotes. Okay. My manifestation for 2025 is just bigger, more momentous career moves, financial overflow of just crossing a new threshold financially into wealth, true wealth with true assets, and just more, just defining, loving, joyous memories with my family, my growing and new family here, just being an amazing mom, an amazing wife, and an amazing career woman, businesswoman. That's what I'm manifesting, and still just being an amazing me to all the other people that I love and care for, like my best friend that we've been rocking. This is, we going into now, over 20 years.
A long time.
We've been together a very long time. This is the longest relationship I've ever been in.
Ever.
All right. And so on that note, we're going to close it out with some positivity. What's your positive quote, best friend?
The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart by Miss Helen Keller.
Ooh, okay. We know Helen Keller. Okay, mine's is pretty lengthy. It is from an Instagram page called Pretty Purposeful Prince off of Pinterest. And this is maybe your next era is about living with purpose and intentionality, elevating personal standards, letting go of what no longer serves you, venturing beyond comfort zones, cultivating meaningful relationships, focusing on what ignites your passion, recognizing your inherent worth, deepening self-awareness and self-love, nurturing habits that empower, embracing solitude as a path to growth, taking ownership of your journey, finding joy in each moment, celebrating progress with gratitude, and prioritizing self-care and self-discovery. And I'm definitely manifesting all of that for 2025. I'm claiming that for you as well, best friend. And to all of our listeners, this is a new year. We don't know what it holds, but just make sure you go into each moment with the right attitude, the right energy, because you'll get the right outcome despite whatever it is over there. If you're going in there with the right intention and the right oomph, it's gonna work in your favor in the end. So just more love, light, and positivity in 2025. All right.
Okay, my other motto is at the end of the day, the day got to end.
Okay, period.
If you stress at 9 a.m., by 9 p.m., it's gonna be over.
Just go to sleep.
1 hour at a time.
Period.
1 hour at a time.
I take it every 20 minutes, like even when I'm working, and if I'm like, I need a break, I'm gonna take a break because I ain't gonna lose my mind over nobody and nothing. Like,
All right, and what's our closing slogan, best friend?
Love, abundance, a really nice hair bundle for the holidays.
Right? Yeah, they still got those sales going, and you know, you want to go into the new year with some nice, good hair. I just got a new wig, so I'm going to try that out. Thank you.
Period.
Period dot. All right. Happy New Year, y'all. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
So it's why you with your parents.
We yes.
Maybe just your auntie and your uncle.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.